Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim, daf Mem Beis. We left off yesterday, Mem Aleph Mem Beis at the Mishnah, right at the bottom or towards the bottom of the Amud. So first, the sponsorships. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Lila Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Lea Shalom. It's also sponsored by Alana and Eric Cohn, Lizchus Rafua Shalema for Moshe Ben Cheftza and Rachel Bas Esther. And in honor of the Lasky Herman wedding, which we celebrated on Sunday evening. So mazel tov to the families, and everybody should have an aliyas neshama. Thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So today, we're going to continue along the discussion that we were engaged in over the past couple of days, which again, just to reset, is what happens or what are people allowed to do when one takes a neder that another person is not going to be able to get hanah from him. So for example, Reuven takes a neder that he's not going to have hanah from Shimon or that Shimon's not going to have hanah from him. What day-to-day activities can they engage in? So the first Mishnah, which we're going to see on the bottom of Mem Aleph and Mem Beis, is going to continue again, whether they were allowed to eat together in certain respects. Yesterday we saw that they were allowed to eat at the same table, but they're not allowed to share a communal dish because the less one eats, the more another gets. And if one of them eats less and the other gets more, that's considered to be a type of anah. But we saw that if it's a type of dish which is ultimately sent back to the balabayas, so everybody sort of eats what they eat, but it's not that if one eats less, the other guy definitively gets more, then they're allowed to eat from the same dish. So the first mission that we're going to cover on Mem Aleph Mem Beis is just going to be a very brief continuation of that topic. And then we're going to get to the main event of today's daf, the Mishnah on Mem Beis, Amud Aleph, which is going to talk about what happens if a person is mudur hanah from his friend before Shemitah, and then the Shemitah year comes. Is the person allowed to eat from the peiros that's on his friend's field during Shemitah? And we're going to see the Gemara is going to be mesupak. The Gemara is going to actually have shitas both ways as to what exactly are we talking about. Are we talking about a situation where the guy makes an eder before Shemitah and then he's not allowed to eat the friend's peiros before Shemitah because he said that he's not going to be able to have anah from him? And before Shemitah, the friend's peiros obviously belong to the friend, and therefore he's not going to be able to benefit. Or then the Mishnah is going to talk about a situation, but during Shemitah, it wouldn't be the case, because if I make a neder, then I'm not allowed to vanoah from somebody else, and then Shemitah comes. So during Shemitah, the peiros that's in the guy's field, they're hefker, they don't really belong to the other guy. So the question is, are we talking about a situation where I'm standing here today, and I'm making an eder that I'm not going to have anah from this guy's peiros, and or this guy's nechasim, and then Shemitah comes? Or are we talking about a situation where it's during Shemitah, and now I make an eder that I'm not allowed to have anah from the other guy's nechasim? What is the halacha during Shemitah? And the Gemara is going to tie that to a machlokas, whether a person is allowed to be oser something even after it leaves his rishus. Meaning, so let's say the situation is like this. Reuven says, Shimon is not allowed to have hanah from me, or he's not allowed to have hanah from my nechasim. So after something leaves my rishus, let's say I say that he's not allowed to have hanah from me, and I own an axe or whatever that he wants to borrow. Let's say I transfer the axe to somebody else. Is Shimon now allowed to have hanah from it because it's no longer my axe? Do I have that ability to prohibit something on somebody else even after it leaves my rishos? And that's what the Gemara is going to talk about, and ultimately is going to help inform the proper interpretation of our Mishnah as to what exactly the situation is that we're dealing with. And then the Gemara is going to conclude towards the Manama Mem Beis and Mem Beis with a discussion of whether during Shemitah, not only are the peiros that are on a field hefker, but is the land that the peiros are on also hefker? In the Nafka Mina, if somebody is not allowed to have anah from somebody else, or somebody else is nechasim, and then Shemitah comes, is the person allowed to walk on the other guy's land? Is the land considered not to be his anymore because it's Shemitah and therefore it's Hefker? Or is the land still considered to be his? So that's what we're going to discuss today. But again, we left off at the Mishnah, the Banim of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Then the Mishnah says as follows, Lo yochal imo min ha'avos shelefnei ha'poalim, that the person, if one is mudar ano on somebody else, then they're not allowed to eat together from the trough that's placed in front of workers. Why? Because again, like we saw yesterday, the less one eats, the more the other eats. And therefore, they're not allowed to eat together because one is going to be benefiting from the other depending on how much the other guy eats. Now, over here in this Mishnah, unlike in the previous Mishnah, we don't have a qualification, but in an Avos HaChozer, if ultimately all the food is going to go back to the Balabayis, then it's going to be okay. The reason is because by an Avos HaPoalim, they are working very, very hard, so they build up a ravenous appetite. There's never anything that goes back to the Balabayis, and because it's not shayach for anything to go back to the Balabayis, therefore we don't discuss that qualification or that exclusion in our Mishnah. So, again, they're not allowed to eat together from the same trough because the less one eats, the more the other guy gets, and that's going to benefit him. V'lo yasei imo b'uman, and they're not allowed to work together in the same row in the vineyard. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rav Meir Shita. V'chachamim omrim, and the chachamim say, osevu barachok mimenu. No, they're allowed to work together in the same row in the vineyard if they are far away from one another. And over here we have the same machlokas, Rav Meir and the Chachamim, that we saw yesterday. So if you recall yesterday, the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, was the Shita of the Tanakhama. In that Mishnah, we were talking about whether two people are allowed to stay in the same bed, or if that's considered to be anah, if they're allowed to go into the same bath, or if that's considered to be anah. So Rabbi Yehuda said that type of behavior is usur only in a situation where there was actually hanah conferred upon the other person. For example, if they're together in a small bed in the winter, where they benefit from each other's body heat. If they're together in a small bath, where when one person goes in, it causes the water level to rise. That's a situation where Rav Yehuda said that is going to be usur. However, if there's a scenario where there is no hana that's conferred, for example, where there's a large swimming pool, where it doesn't matter if there's one other guy in the swimming pool, because it doesn't have any material impact on the water level, or for example, if they're in a large bed in the summer where there is no benefit from having somebody else in the bed because you don't need any body heat because it's the summertime, in that case it would be mutter. Whereas Rav Meir in the Mishnah yesterday said, I don't care, I'm gozer every case, up to a case where there might be ana. So it doesn't matter whether it's summer or winter, a big bed or small bed, a big bath or a small bath. Rav Meir says it's always usur. Over here we have the same machlokas. Rav Meir is going to say, if one guy is not allowed to get ana from the other guy, the one guy is not allowed to plow in the row in front of him in the vineyard, no matter what. Doesn't matter whether he's close to him, doesn't matter whether he's far away from him. Why? Because he softens the land and makes it easier on the other guy. However, the Chachamim over here say, which is again the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah yesterday, that they're allowed to plow in the same row in the vineyard as long as they're far away from one another, because then the other guy is not really benefiting so much by the guy is not really benefiting so much by plowing behind him, because there's only a benefit where they're plowing very close to one another and the one guy is softening the land for the guy who's coming behind him. Says the Gemara now, so b'karov lo pligi d'yasser. So it's apparent that everybody agrees that they're not allowed to plow one right behind the other. Ki pligi barachok. So they only argue where they're far away from each other, and this is what we just explained. Rab Meir savar gazrin and rachok mishum karov to come merapi la ara kameh. Rabbanan savri lo gazra. Rab Meir says that we're going to make a gzera that they're not even allowed to plow in the same row, even if they're far away from each other, lest they come to plow in the same row when they're close to each other. And if they did that, Reuven would be getting an off from Shimon, because if Shimon goes and plows first, he's going to soften the land. He's going to make it easier for Reuven. Reuven, therefore, is going to derive an off from Shimon. That's a problem because of the neder. And therefore, we are going to be gozer that they can't plow together in the same row of the vineyard at all, lest a situation present itself where Reuven's getting an off from Shimon. That's the Shita of Rav Meir, who's Machmir, and the Rechachamim say, no, we're not going to be gozer. We say that it's usur only when there's actual anah. When there's no actual anah, however, it is not going to be usur. Okay, so now flipping to today's daf, Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So says the Mishnah, Hamudar hanah mechavero lifnei shvius. If a guy is subject to a neder from his friend before Shemitah. So Eina Yored Latoch Sadeyu. He's not able to go into his field. So again, the case is Reuven is not allowed to have Hana from Shimon. So if it's before Shemitah, Reuven is not allowed to walk into Shimon's field. So why isn't Reuven allowed to walk into Shimon's field? So the Ron explains, because our Mishnah is going like the Man D'Amar who said that even Vitor is Aser B'Mudar Hana. That, remember that we had a machlokes, whether if Reuven's not allowed to have Hana from Shimon, is Reuven allowed to do things that everybody just forgets about? Nobody honestly cares about it. So, like walking across somebody's front lawn, nobody cares if somebody walks across somebody else's field. So if Reuven is not allowed to have Hana from Shimon, is Reuven allowed to set foot on Shimon's property? Is it yes, because we say Shimon doesn't even care if Reuven sets foot on his property? Or is it no, because Reuven said that he's not going to have Hana, and this is also considered to be a type of Hana? The Ron says that we are poskening, and this Mishnah goes like the Man D'Amar, who says that Vitor is Aser B'Hana, that if Reuven is not allowed to have Hana from Shimon, he's not allowed to do something, even if Shimon is Mevater, even if Shimon doesn't really care, and therefore he's not allowed to set foot on his field. However, the Shita Mekubetza says that we don't have to be taking a position necessarily in this halachlokas of whether Vitor is Usur B'Mudar Hana or not, because we could be talking about a field during the summertime when everybody is makbid that people shouldn't walk on their fields. So the way it used to work is that in the winter, the field was a mess. It was just a muddy mess, and nobody would really care whether somebody would want to make a shortcut. However, in the summer, when they were planting stuff in the field, everybody does care. Farmer does care if you're going to walk across his field. So says the Shita Mekubet, says maybe this is not talking about Vitor Aser B'Mudar Hana. We're not talking about the winter time, where Shimon doesn't care, and the only question is Reuven allowed to go even though Shimon doesn't care? We're talking about in the summertime when Shimon does care, everybody cares, and therefore he's not allowed to walk across his field because it's not a case of Vitor at all. He's not Mevater, he's Makbid that he shouldn't walk on his field. So anyway, so Reuven's not allowed to have enough from Shimon. So Reuven is not allowed to walk across Shimon's field if it's before Shemitah. Veina ochel menanotos, nor is he allowed to eat from those peros which are growing in Shimon's field, but leaning over into Rishos HaRabim. So he doesn't have to traverse across Shimon's field to get to the peros. He could grab them from the Rishos HaRabim, but he's not allowed to, because he said he's not allowed to have enough from Shimon. These peros belong to Shimon, therefore he's not allowed to take the peros. However, ubishviyis, however, if it's in Shemitah, so again, what does it mean if it's in Shemitah? Do we mean that he made the neder before Shemitah and then Shemitah comes? Or are we talking about where it is already Shemitah and now Reuven says that he's not allowed to have Hana from Shimon, that he's Mudar Hana, or Shimon makes a neder that Reuven's not allowed to have Hana from him? So we'll see. Uveshvius, and if it's Shvius, Eina Yorid Latoch Sadeyu, he's not able to go into his field, because again, our Mishnah, according to the Ran, is taking a position that even Drisas HaRegel is Aser B'Mudar Hana, because even Vitor is Aser by a Mudar Hana, so he's not allowed to walk across his field. Again, hold the thought, because the Gemara is going to ask, if it's Shemitah, the field is Hefker, so what difference does it make? So we'll get to that at the end of the daf, but he's not allowed to walk across his field. Aval Ochalum and Anatias Anotos, but if it's Shemitah, he is able to eat from the peros that are in Shimon's field, which are hanging over the Rishos HaRabim. Why? Because during Shvius, the peros are hefker. So therefore, it's not going to be a problem. It's not considered that he's having Hana from Shimon, because these peros don't belong to, Shimon. So again, it's possible to interpret what this Mishnah is saying in two ways. It could be interpreted that he took the neder before Shvius, before Shemitah, and the Mishnah is talking about what happens when Shemitah hits. Or we can interpret the Mishnah that he took the second clause of the Mishnah is that he took the neder on Shemitah. In other words, the first clause of the Mishnah is what happens if you take the neder before Shemitah. Second clause of the Mishnah is what happens if you take the neder on Shemitah. The Ran explains that when it says in the Mishnah, in b'shviyas nadar, it's mashma that he's being noder on Shviyas. In other words, that it's actually Shemitah when he takes the neder in the second clause of the Mishnah. However, if he were to take the neder before Shvi'is, then it would be usur for him to eat his friend's peiros even after Shemitah hits. That's the Shita of the Ran. We're going to see an explanation of why the Ran says like this in the Gemara. So says the Mishnah, continues the Mishnah. So we're four lines down. So nadar imenu machal lefnei Shvi'is. If he was no there, but only hanas machal lefnei Shvi'is, yori letok sadeyu, veina ochel mina peiros. That he's able to go into his friend's field, but he's not able to eat his peiros. Was he able to go into his friend's field if he's not able to have anah? Because the only anah that he's not able to have is anah smaychel. Going into his friend's field is not considered to be anah smaychel, but he is not allowed to eat the peiros because he's not allowed to have anah smaychel. Ubishvius yored vaochel. However, during Shemitah, he's allowed to go into the field because, again, he's allowed to enter the field because he only was noder anos maichel, and he's allowed to eat the peiros because the maichel, the fruit in the field, is going to be hefker, and therefore it's not going to be a problem. So if you look in Tosfos over here, Tosfos says that a b'shvius yored va'ochel de hefkaru because it's all hefker. So he says v'kasha de la'el mi boile im maspik umezel ba'ara I avi anom avi ele de maichel. In other words, Tosfos says, I don't understand. Why isn't walking in the field, presumably for the purpose of getting the fruit, considered to be ana ha'mevi ele de maichel? He asserted only anas maichel on him. But the only way to get to the food is if he walks across the guy's field. So walking across the guy's field itself should be anah mevi'a l'idei maichel. Says Tosfos, v'yesh lomar de b'shvi'is afasa de hefker l'tzorech achila, d'achi masik b'gemara. So he makes a chiddush that by shvi'is, the land is considered to be hefker for the purpose of the peiros. In other words, it's considered to be hefker l'tzorech achila, and therefore he is allowed to walk on the field because by shvi'is, it's all considered to be hefker. Uli dach nami de mishani shema yishev amida chalo shayech b'mudar maichel di yishav vein b'kach klum. Now Tosfos is alluding to something that we're going to see at the end of today's daf, that again, if the only hanah that was usher to him was a hanah mevil a day Michael, says the Gemara is going to say later on, the whole reason that the person is not allowed to walk on Shimon's field, the whole reason that Reuben is not allowed to walk on Shimon's field is lest he luxuriate there and relax there and just stand there for a long time and get too much hanah. But if the only type of hanah that's prohibited is hanah mevil a day Michael, that's not going to be a problem because as long you could stand on somebody's fields for 3 days, but if you don't take any food, then it's not considered to be therefore it's not going to be a problem at all. So the Mefarish also says that there were two ways of interpreting the Mishnah, that we can interpret the first clause as where he made the neder before Shvi'is, the second clause where he made the neder during Shvi'is. Or we can interpret that he made the neder before Shvi'is, and the question is, what happens when Shemitah hits? The Mefarish, like the Ran, says that it's more mistaber to say the first clause in the Mishnah is what happens when he made the neder before Shvi'is. Second clause in the Mishnah is what happens where he made the neder and it's on Shvi'is. But we're never talking about the repercussions, the ramifications, if he was standing before Shvi'is and then Shvi'is comes. We're never talking about that. So says the Gemara, and the Gemara we're going to explain again why we're not talking about that case. So says the Gemara like this, Rav Shmuel Damri Tavayu. So Rav Shmuel who say like this, and over here we have a Girsa issue, so we have to look at the Bach, because what this Girsa is changes the entire meaning of the Sugya. Because there were two ways, let's just say like this, Baderech Hakdama. So there were two ways of making a neder. I could say, or Reuven could say, that all of my nechassim are usher to you. Or he could say, these nechassim are usher to you. Let's say Reuven has a cow. So Reuven could say, this cow is usher to you, Shimon. Or Reuven could say, my cow is usher to you, Shimon. So you don't have to be the biggest lamdan to know what the nafkamina is going to be. What happens if Reuven then sells his cow to somebody else? Is the Shimon going to be able to benefit from the cow or not? If he said, this cow is usher to you, well, it's still this cow. So presumably Shimon's not allowed to benefit from the cow. Maybe. But if he says, my cow, than when he sells it. It's no longer his cow. Now, the question is Reuven allowed to prohibit Shimon from benefiting from something even after it leaves his reshus? So that we're going to get to a machlokas in today's sugya. But over here we have a girsa. If you look in the Agos Habach, the Agos Habach changes the girsa to Rav Shmuel Damri Tavayo. This is Os Beis Nichsai Alecha. Kain Sarach Lomar. So he says that the right girsa is where he says Nichsai Alecha, not Nechasim Elu. Forget about that. It's Nichsai Alecha. Okay. So my nechasim are usur to you. So lifnei shvius, so if it's before shvius, einir l'tok sadeyu, he's not allowed to go into his field again, because our Mishnah is holding like the Mandei Amaru says that afilu vitar is usur l'mudur anah, even behavior which people ordinarily forgive is going to be usur by a mudur anah. Veina ochel menanotos, and he's not allowed to eat from the fruit which is growing in the field and leaning over into rishos harabim, because he said you are not allowed to have anah from my nechasim. Afal pi shehegia shvius. Even if Shvius comes, he's still not able to eat from the fruit. That's what Rav and Shmuel say. The im b'Shvius nadar. However, if he actually took the neder during Shvius, then in yored latoch sadeyu, he's not able to go into his field, because again, vitur is usur b'mudar hana, and for some reason the ground is not considered to be hefker. That we're going to get to at the end of the daf. Aval ochel min anotos, but he's able to eat from the peros which are leaning over into rishos harabim, because during shvius they are hefker. So he's able to eat from the notos. Now, what's mashma over here from the shita of Rav Shmuel is that the only time he's allowed to eat from the notos, the only time he's allowed to eat from the peros which are leaning over, is if the guy made the neder during shvius. But what do they say? If the guy made the neder before shvius, then you're not allowed to eat from the peros. And then even if Shemitah comes, you're still not allowed to eat from the peros. He's still not allowed to eat from the peros, because Rav and Shmuel say that if the peros were his at the time of the neder, the Isser is going to be chal even after the peros leave his reshus. So therefore, if they hold the shita that so long as the guy owned the peros at the time he made the neder, they remain usur even after they leave his reshus, Rav and Shmuel have to interpret the Mishnah the way the Ran was interpreting the Mishnah. That the first case is where he made the neder before shvius. Second case where we said the peros of mutter is where he made the neder on shvius. Because according to Rav Shmuel, had he made the neder before shvius, the peros would remain usur even after they left his reshus. Okay, so that's the shita of Rav and Shmuel. However, Rav Yochanan of Reish Lakesh, back in the Gemara, about halfway down, Rav Yochanan of Reish Lakesh, Damri Tavayu, Nichsay Alecha, if he says Nichsay Alecha, which again is the same girsa that the Bach had said that Rav and Shmuel were talking about, Livnei Shvius, Einyor Letok Sadeyu, that we already saw. Also, he's not allowed to eat because he said that he's not allowed to have anah from Shimon. However, here's the machlokas. If Shvius comes, he's not able to walk on his field because Vitor is usher by a mudarana. Aval ochalu as anotos, but he's allowed to eat from the peros anotos, because according to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakesh, if he took a neder before shvius, when shvius comes, it changes the halachic status of the peros. Now, because he said nichsai alecha, that my nechasim should be usher to you, say Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakesh, that neder applies only when the peros are still considered to be his nechasim. However, when shvius comes, the peros become hefker; they're no longer considered to be his nechasim, and therefore that iser goes away. So it turns out that according to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakesh, we don't have to interpret our Mishnah talking about two different cases. We don't have to say the first case is where he made the neder on Shvius, before Shvius, rather the second case is where he made the neder on Shvius. According to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakesh, we could be talking about a single case. Guy made a neder before Shvius. Before Shvius, when he owns the peros, Shimon's not allowed to eat from it, or we've been saying Reuven's not allowed to eat from Shimon's Peros. However, when Shemitah comes, they are no longer considered to be Shimon's Peros, and therefore, during Shemitah, Reuven is allowed to eat from Shimon's Peros. Not like the way the Ron explained the Mishnah, but again, we're going to get all to all of this on Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, now we're trying to isolate the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel on the one hand, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the other hand. Again, the fundamental point of contention over here is if a person makes a neder that somebody else is not allowed to have anah from his nechassim, and then something happens and the nechassim are no longer his, for example, Shvius comes and the peros become hefker, does that neder continue to apply or not? So what is the fundamental point of machlokas here? So says the Gemara, Lema ba kamiflugi. Let's say they're arguing about the following. The Rav Shmuel Savri, that Rav Shmuel say that Adam Oser Davar Sheber Shuso, Afilu L'Chashay Yatzah Mershuso, that a person is able to aser something in his rishus even after it leaves his rishus. And therefore, if before Shemitah he makes a neder that Shimon's not allowed to have anah from his payros, or Shimon makes a neder that Reuven's not allowed to have anah from his payros, then if even after Shemitah comes and the payros are no longer considered Shimon's, because a person is able to aser somebody else in his nechassim even after they leave his rishus, Reuven remains aser to eat from these payros. However, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish Savri ain't Adam Oser Davar Sheber Shuso L'Chashay Yatzer Mershuso. And Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the other hand say that a person is not able to aser something in his rishus even after it leaves his rishus, and therefore when Shemitah comes, the peiros are going to be mutter. So the Shita B'Kabetzas explains this machlokas like this: that Rav and Shmuel say that a neder works like hektish. And that's typically the way somebody makes a neder. He'll say, Harei alai kecherem, right? He's going to say that it's usur to me like hektish. And how does hektish work? By hektish, if you're maktish something, it remains usur, it remains forbidden until you're poda the item. So too, the item that's subject to a neder remains forbidden forever, even after it leaves his rishus. So therefore, even if, just like by hektish, it's always going to be usur, so too by the neder, it's also always going to be usur, even after it happens to leave his rishus, because the peros happen to become hefker. The achronim struggle with how exactly, why are peros even usur? If you make a neder that you're not allowed to have anah from my nechassim, if the peros are a davar shalo b'liolam, so how are they ever? How is a neder ever chal on the peros? So you have to explain that he prohibited the land and the trees, and therefore the future peros is considered to be captured as well. They're a product of that, so it's not really considered to be a davar shalo b'liolam. So that's the way the Shita Mekbetzis explains the Shita of Rav Shmuel. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they reject this comparison between neder and hektish. And because why? Because by hektish, the item actually changes ownership. The item leaves your ownership and goes to hektish's ownership, and therefore, it's going to remain usur until there's a pidyon. However, by a neder, it's not changing ownership, it's your item. You are usuring your item, and therefore, when the ownership does transfer, the item can't retain its status of isser. So the question then is, so if a person, if the Shita of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is that a person is not able to aser something that he doesn't own, the question is, why do they express their view only in the situation where the guy says, Nechasai Alecha? Even if he said nechassim elu, even if he said these nechassim, he doesn't have any power over these nechassim after they leave his rishus. So the Ron says ena chinami. They could have argued in the case of nechassim elu, but they argued by nechassai just to highlight the machlokas that Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish have with Rav and Shmuel. Okay, so again, says the Gemara, where we are now is that we have a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel on the one, or Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the other hand. Can a person aser something that's in his rishus even after it leaves his rishus? Rav and Shmuel say yes. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish say no. Says the Gemara B'Tizbara, Mi'ika l'mandi amar ein adam osar davar shav rishus l'chshayatza merishus. So, is there anybody who holds like the sheet of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish that a person can't aser something in his rishus even after it leaves his rishus? Dim kain niflagi b'nechassim elu. Let them argue by nechasim elu, because even if the neder is shayich not to the gavra but to the cheftza, he only has the power to aser the cheftza when it's in his rishus. And certainly, if he's going to take the neder b'loshon gavra, if he says nechasai, then it's obvious that the only time he's able to aser the nechasim is when they're in his rishus. The kolshkein b'nechasai. This is what we just said, right? In other words, this is what the Ran was bothered by. That if this is the whole machlokas, why are you talking about nechasai? Argue about nechasim elu. Talk about that situation. Vesu, and furthermore, we know that there is no machlokas about it. We know that people are able to aser things even after they leave their rishus from the following. Hatnan, the Adam Oser Davar Shabrasusa Lakhshayatza Mirshus. So we know that people can aser something that's in their rishos even after it leaves their rishos. The Tanana, Omer Livno, if a person says to his son, Konem Shata Nen Eli, I'm Konem that you're not allowed to have anah from me. They obviously have a great close relationship. So the father says the son's not allowed to have anah from him. Mace Yershenu. If the father dies, the son still yarshens him. Why? Because after the father dies, the nechasim are not considered to be the nechasim of the father, and therefore the son is going to get the Yerusha, because the Torah says the son yarshens him. However, what if the father says, b'chayiv of mamoso, if the father says that you're not going to have enough from me when I'm living or when I'm dead, emes lo yershena. If the father dies, the son is not able to yarshen him. And that is true, even though the nechasim don't belong to the father after he dies. So over here we see beferish that a person is allowed to aser his nechasim on somebody else even after they leave his rishus. So it's apparent that the reason this is chal is because ein adam motzi dvarav levatala, and therefore if he says mechayev la'achar misa, then it's obvious that the nether is going to be chal even after the nechasim leave his rishus. The achronim are bothered. How is it that a person is allowed to say that his son is not allowed to benefit from him after he dies? Yerusha is a din Torah. So how is a person? The halacha is that ein adam masna al davar shakasa b'torah, that a person is not allowed to be masna to override something in the Torah. So how could he override the din of Yerusha by saying that his son's not allowed to have enough from him? So the achronim explain he's not saying that his son's not going to yarshen him. What he's saying is his son is not allowed to benefit from that which he yarshens from him. So imeis lo yarshena. So says this. From here we prove that a person is able to ouster something. A person is able to ouster something that's his even after it leaves his rishus. Says the Gemara, Shani Acha de Karmale Bechayev of Amoso. No, it's because he was expressed. It's because he explicitly said Bechayev of Amoso, and that's why it is Chal. However, in a Stam case where a person says that my Nechasim should be Usur, he only has in mind while he owns the Nechasim, not after he transfers ownership to somebody else. But says the Gemara, Mikom Lokom Kasha, still it's a Kasha. In other words, why didn't they argue by Nechasim Elu? Why are they arguing by Nechasai? If the whole question is, are you allowed to Usur your nechasim even after they leave your rishus, let's just talk about where the guy said nechasim elu, and then you transferred it to somebody else. Does the neder continue along with the nechasim or not? Says the Gemara, Ela b'nechasim elu kuliyama lo pligi. Now, everybody agrees that by nechasim elu, the iser continues along with the nechasim. Ki pligi b'nechasai. The whole machlokas is when the guy says nechasai, my nechasim. Ravach mol savri loshna nechasim elu loshna nechasai adam oser. Ravach mol say it doesn't matter what language the person uses, he could always aser the nechasim even after they leave his rishos. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish shavar, and Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish say nechasim elu, if he says nechasim elu adam oser, then a person can aser even after they leave his rishos, because he's using the broader language and he is attaching the neder to the cheftza, so the cheftza remains the cheftza even after it leaves his rishos. Nechasai ain't adam oser. However, if the guy says nechasai, a person can't aser after they leave his rishus, because the very lashon of the neder nechasai implies so long as it's my nechasim. After it's my nechasim, after it no longer ceases to be my nechasim, then it's not going to be aser. But says the Gemara, Mika Laman Diyamar Loshna Nechasam Eila Veloshna Nechasai. Is there really a Man Diyamar who says that it doesn't matter what language you use, it's going to be the same halacha in both cases? Vatnan, but we learn as follows. Homer Lechaveiro, that if a person says to his friend, Konem Letoch Beischa Shani Nechnas, I am not going to come to your house ever. Sodcha Shani Lokeach, I'm not going to buy your field ever. Meso Shemachor La'acher, if the guy died, or if he sold the house or the field to somebody else, mutter, then it's mutter, because what did the guy say? Reuven said to Shimon, I'm not going to buy your house. Shimon then sold the house to Levi. Guess what? It's no longer Shimon's house, so it doesn't make a difference. However, L'bayezeh shani nichnas, sadezu shani lokeach. If Reuven was so upset at Shimon, he said, I'm never going to buy this house, not your house. I'm never going to buy this house. I'm never going to buy this field. So meso shemachor la'acher aser. If he dies, or if he sells it to somebody else, it's going to remain aser and Reuven, because Reuven was never tola the nether on the nechasim belonging to Shimon. He said, I'm never going to go into this house. I'm never going to buy this field. So it doesn't matter, even if Shimon sells it to Levi and Levi to Yehuda and they sold it to all the Shvatim, it still remains that house, so Reuven's going to be aser. So of course it makes a big difference whether you say nechasim elu or whether you say nechsai. Says the Gemara, Ela ki amri Rav Yochanan v'Reish Lakesh. Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakesh are talking about where the guy says benichsai. Therefore, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakesh say, if the guy takes the nether before Shvius, then Shemitah comes and the peiros become hefker, it's going to be mutter for Reuven to eat Shimon's peiros because he said nichsai, the nether was chal only so long as Shimon owned them. Once they become hefker, Shimon no longer owns them, Reuven's allowed a benefit. And Rav Yochanan, so the Rav Yochanan Reish Lakesh talk about where he says benichsai, Rav Shmuel benichasam elu velo pligi. And Rav Shmuel are talking about a case where the guy says nechasam elu, where Reuven says the neder in a lasha not of Shimon's nechasam, but these nechasam are going to be aser, and therefore even after Shmita comes, they're going to be aser because they still remain those nechasam, even though they no longer remain Shimon's nechasam. So it turns out after this whole Okimta trying to figure out the machlokas, Rav Shmuel, they don't argue. They're talking about different situations depending on the lashon of the neder which is used. Okay, says the Gemara now. So by the way, so it comes out according to all this that the Gersa that the Bach had, remember in the beginning of the Gemara, the Gemara clearly said Nechasim Elu, and then the Bach changed it to Nechsai. So Rav Shmuel were saying that Rav Shmuel were also talking about Nechsai. Says, turns out at the end of the Gemara, the Ron points out the Bach's Gersa was wrong, because this is exactly what we're saying, that Rav Shmuel are talking about where he says Nechasim Elu, and Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are talking about where he says Nechsai. So it turns out that the Gersa that the Bach had trying to reconcile those two Shitas, talking about the same case, totally wrong. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, Uveshvius any Ur Latok Sadeu, that in Shemitah, if he takes the nether in Shemitah, he's still not allowed to enter into his field. So says the Gemara, Maishna de Yochel Menanotos to Peridev Kera, Inan. Why is it that if he takes the nether during Shemitah, he is allowed to eat from the peros which are growing in the field but hanging over Rosh Hashanah Rabim? The answer is because those peros are Hefker. But Aranami Afkare, but he was also Mafkir the land as well. So if he was Mafkir the land, then why can't he walk on the guy's field? It's not considered to be his field, it's considered to be Hefker. There is a whole Torah here, which we don't have time for because we have less than a minute, as to whether Shemitah really worked, as to whether we compare all of the Dine Hefker to Din Shemitah, because if by Shemitah everything becomes Hefker, Shemitah is only for a specific period of time. So the question is, can a person be Mafker as Nechasim only for a set period of time, or is Hefker irrevocable? That's a big lumdus. We don't have time for that now. Says the Gemara, so Amar Ula, ba'omdim ilanos alagvulim. So we're talking about a situation where all the trees are on the border of the field, and therefore there's no purpose served in him walking onto the field in order to get the peros. You're right. If he had to walk on the field to get the peros, it would be mutzer because the peros are hefker and the land is hefker. But we're talking about where he has access to the trees because they're on the side, and therefore there's no purpose served in him walking in the middle of the field. And Rav Shimon ben Eliyakim Omar, the issue is that maybe he's going to stand there for longer than he needs in order to take the peros off of the trees, and that type of hana, maybe he's going to stand there, that is not going to be mutter for him to have, and because again, the land is hefker only for the purpose of getting the peiros, but this is already not for the purpose of getting the peiros, therefore it's going to remain usur. All right, so we'll stop here. The rabbi is back tomorrow morning, and we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Beis and Mabez. Everybody have a great day.